Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode. I almost said issue already. Another episode of the Comic Shoot. We have actually done three episodes since coming back in a row. So nobody's more surprised than I am. Derek, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Good to be back. Three episodes in a row.
I know, it's like a freaking miracle. I mean, we managed to pull off 12 before, but that was a year ago, so who knows. I want to jump right in, since how we got these half an hour shows. Recently, a couple days ago, Alex Mansfield, he's going to kill me for that, put up an opinion piece titled, "It's Not Your Job to Save Comics." And there was a lot of flack on Reddit and kind of around from where we posted it, kind of saying, like, disagreeing with it. I mean, there's a lot of people that agreed with it and a lot of people that didn't, I guess, so I kind of want to touch on that. Essentially, and I'll link the article in the post for those that haven't read it yet. Essentially, I mean, it starts right off by saying it's not your job to save the comic book industry. He goes on to say, you know, you're the fan. You buy what you like. You're not trying to, you know, you shouldn't feel guilt if a series gets canceled because you decided to trade weight or you weren't 100% sure. So you waited for reviews to come in or whatever. You know, he's saying it's a hobby. It's not meant to be like a, you flip through previews every month and you go, I'm going to pre-order this, and this. He's upset with the almost archaic system of those previews where you're supposed to pre-order a book and put down money on a book, you know, 3 months or more before it comes out based on the title and the creators and maybe like a little blurb, which, I mean, is hard for most. I mean, working on allcomic.com, obviously we get a little bit more from some of the publishers and sometimes we can actually read the full book before. I mean, we've gone so far as to get, freshly lettered books. So, I mean, you can pre-order those because you've read the whole book, essentially. But for
I was just going to say thanks to the publishers who do that for us.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, Marvel and DC will never do that for us.
Oh, heck no.
But I don't really care. But anyway, for the people that do order that through previews, I mean, I guess to each their own. And there is a lot of creators through Image that really pimp their books, like, hey, today's the cutoff, you know, order a book, this and that. And of course, there are some that are live and die by that. I almost want to say if the book's good enough, you don't have to worry. But that might come off as too callous. What do you think, Derek?
You know, as far as what he was saying, like, by and large, he's actually right. Like, you shouldn't feel obligated to try to, like, save books or pre-order or whatnot. Like, I guess I don't, like, I pre-order a lot of books, but I guess I don't do it, like, in the traditional sense. Like, I don't actually, like, put money down or anything. Like, I just go to my comic book shop every week, and after I get my comics, I'm like, all right, this is what I want on my pull list, and, you know, and they know that, like, okay, so as soon as this comes in, we have to get Derek a copy because he'll flip the fuck out if we don't get it for him.
But that's essentially, I mean, that's how I assume the majority, by and large, shops actually work. I mean, yeah, you are essentially putting your money down because you're saying, I need you to order, or I want you to order this for me, and then I will buy it.
Oh, well, yeah, sure, okay, all right, yeah.
You know, and I mean, there's a lot of books that their variant covers are based on orders as well. Like, I remember talking to my shop's owner, and he was talking about some variant coming out for, I think it was Amazing Spider-Man. No, what book was it? It was a lesser book than Amazing Spider-Man. I want Scotty Young covers, like the covers. I generally don't care what the book is. I just really like his covers, and so does my wife. I mean, we got Scotty Young all over our walls.
Yeah, sure. I've bought a few of them. They're nice. I like them.
Well, he was saying, and again, I can't remember the book, but in order to get Scotty Young variants on just say Amazing Spider-Man, you would have had to order, you know, 300 copies of Superior Spider-Man, like 31. Like, it was some random ass issue. And if you didn't order that, you weren't going to get the Scott Young previews for this. And it was just something ridiculous. And he basically told me, like, I'm going to put you down for as many covers as I can get. He goes, but ever since the Marvel Now popped up, he's like, they're making it harder to get them. You have to order shittier books. I mean, I use the term loosely, I guess. Less liked books in order to get the Scott Young covers on books that are liked. I think that's just fucking backwards. I think if they order 100 of Amazing Spider-Man number one, they should get, you know, whatever the 1 in 20 cover is, or I think Scott Young's cover is just a variance. I don't think it's a 1 in book. But you know, you say you order 100 of those and you get 20 Scott Young covers. That's just how it should be. It shouldn't be based on something you had somebody ordered or you had ordered before. You know, it's that kind of fucked up system that has shit like this happening. You know, where they try to force you to order these books way ahead of time, hoping that something down the line will work out for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my shop particularly, they often don't get a lot of these because of this. They don't get a lot of variants, and as a result, like, when they do get them in, they often try to sell them at a premium.
Yeah, I mean, the one that comes to mind for me was the sketch penciled Alex Ross cover for the Brian Wood Star Wars number one.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a 1 in 100 variant, and I think maybe 1 in 50, and my shop ordered it. I mean, it's Star Wars number one, so everybody's going to buy it because it's number one. If you want to hear more about number ones, well, listen to the last show. and I just saw it sitting there, and he was trying to sell it for like $150, and I'm not one to hold back my opinion, so I kind of just laughed in his face, and I said, who the hell's going to buy that? And, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's one comic. You know, and he's like, well, he's like, I pre-ordered it. They gave it to me. He's like, this is what it's going for on eBay. He's like, I either sell it here or I sell it on eBay.
You can get like 40, 50 comics for that price.
Better comics, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think I stopped reading that Brian Wood Star Wars at like 4, which is longer than the Marvel Star Wars. I'll give you that. But, you know, it's just weird shit like that with the variant covers and everything else that I don't get. But, I mean, if you go back to the point here with Alex's article, you know, he's saying that he likes to trade weight on books. I mean, I know you, Derek, you get every single comic that comes out every single week because you're insane.
Well, yeah, but I also don't have a problem with people who trade weight. And there are like a couple books that I do that I will do that with.
Yeah, and that was my next question. Is that something that you do end up doing for some books? What makes you choose that route?
Sometimes, like if it's something that I, you know, am late on, I'll like catch up through trade, and then instead of buying the single issues, I'll just keep up with trade.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the easiest way. So, when stuff like that happens, do you ever feel guilt, you know, when the series ends? I mean, a lot of what Alex is saying and a lot of what I hear other people are saying that are pro or even against is like, it almost comes down to a per fan basis. You know, if 5 people don't buy the book, that's 5 less sales for the book during the run, which might end up causing it to end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think of Avengers AI with Sam Humphries and Andre, I can't say his last name. He's a really good guy. He did an interview with us. Yeah. And I feel really bad that I can't. I mean, I probably won't be able to say his last name right anyway. Arujo? A-R.
I can't remember. Andre Lima.
And I'm sorry, Andre. I can't say last names or first names most of the time. But yeah. That, I thought that was a fantastic book. I actually really, really liked that book.
Oh, yeah. That's easily probably, I don't know. Would you agree that that's probably one of the best Avengers books in years?
Easily. Hands down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I didn't even really know most of the cast when it started. Or I was like vaguely familiar with them. And they made me like all the characters and they made me love the situation and I mean, Vision is just a badass character, so it was great that he was in it. And
yeah,
I like Hank Pym, regardless of everybody who can't let go of the wife-beating thing. You know, so it was a great book, and it lasted 3 trades, I think. I think 12 issues.
Yeah, it was 12. Yeah, 12 or 13. No, I think 12.
I think 12. And it got canceled. And a big reason was that, quote unquote, people weren't buying the book. Sales were not strong enough in Marvel's market. And I mean, I think Marvel hangs on to a lot of books a lot longer than others might because it's Marvel. And I mean, if they don't make money on one book, generally speaking, they let it finish, you know, a story, maybe not the overall story. But they kind of let it run its course and then, okay, you're done. They don't just chop it, you know. But anyway, and I know for me, I was constantly saying, I have maybe a better platform per se with the site to try and get the word out. But I was constantly saying, like, people need to buy this. And yeah, I was pissed off when it was canceled. But I certainly didn't. It didn't come to my mind that, oh, you know, fuck those guys that didn't order it. It's all their fault.
Well, no, no. And I'll pimp books out sometimes and be like, hey, you need to read this. But at the end of the day, when it gets canceled, it's not like I'm pissed off at anybody. That's just, I don't know. I think that's stupid.
Well, yeah, it's more at the situation than the, individual people. I might have even done giveaways of that book. Like, I personally just paid for some digital copies online because they were $2 or whatever.
Yeah.
Just gave some away because, like, that's how much I got behind the book. And I got a few people reading it, but I mean, you're not gonna save a book that's only selling 7,000 by giving it to 4 people or whatever. I think Marvel's kind of like, okay, time to go is like 9 or 10,000, and then they start looking at it, right?
Yeah. Now DC's kind of an odd duck because they're certain. DC. Well, yeah, of course. You know, they kind of go by their own beat, I guess. But there's certain books that sell, you know, very, very low for them, and they will automatically exit. But then there's other books that they just drag on forever and ever, and nobody gives a crap, and they're terrible titles, and nobody buys them, but they just keep on rolling.
Well, yeah, but that stuff, like the Dan DeDio writing stuff, I don't think they're going to go to Dan and say, yeah, Dan, your book sells like shit and it's garbage, so we're going to stop selling it. They're going to go, Dan, and I don't remember his official title. He's editor-in-chief or something.
Yes.
So they're not going to go to their, their bigwig and be like, Dan, we're going to cancel your book because it's going to piss them off. So they probably, okay, you know what? We can afford to sell 3,000 or whatever of The Question or whatever fucking book he was doing. Phantom Stranger. and just eat it for, four more issues, and then he's done and he'll shut up about it.
Yeah, he's currently working on that Infinity Man and the Forever People, and I actually really enjoy that book, but that's ending, but I think they're just using that convergence as an excuse to try to slide it under the rug there.
Probably. I actually started liking that too. I like the art and everything, and it was very, very Kirby. Obviously, that's where the characters are from, but I mean, just the look and the feel of it was. I ended up dropping it. DC pissed me off majorly one day, and I just fucking dropped it and said, I'll buy a trade.
Yeah, the art is very intentionally, Kirby-esque, and the story's kooky and cool, and I with the exception of the, one or two Green Lantern tie-ins.
Yeah, that those are unnecessary, although...
Which?
Guy Gardner looked pretty cool done up in that kind of Kirby style.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty awesome. His goatee or whatever looked pretty badass.
Yeah, DC and Marvel are two books, obviously, or two companies that really play by their own rules. And I don't truly believe that pre-ordering or not pre-ordering or trade waiting, I don't really think it affects them too much. For them,
probably not. They probably already have an idea, like, months ahead, whether this book's going to be successful or not.
Yeah, I mean, they got money to throw at,
Yeah.
To research it and do that, and they don't really care. When it comes to Image and like Dark Horse even, and like just more of the creator owned stuff, I mean, you do see a lot of people creator wise on Twitter or whatever. My book is this, we're doing this, and they're constantly retweeting interviews and this and that. Like they're really working, because for the most part, Image says you own everything, like you're on your own. We'll publish it, otherwise, have at her. Unless it blows up, and then you'll get some ads, and I'm not really sure how much Image as a company has a choice in those ads. A lot of those ads I feel are like, oh, well, I know this guy's buddies with this guy, so that's why there's an ad of his book in this book.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of in-house kind of promoting, but as far as like, but there's no like, you know, Spider-Man Colgate toothbrushes or something for kids or whatever yeah. ads and that shit.
Yeah. And I mean, I have never created a comic. I can't speak to how you live and die by pre-orders or not. I know Jim Zub, who's very vocal about his work in general, at one point, I think, was saying like creator-owned people could make as little as like $3 a page or something.
Yeah.
Depending on how they sell. And I mean, a lot of that's driven by that. For me, I mean, I'm pulling like 20 Image books. And I could probably pull more, but I'm trying to ease that shit, you know? But they're never, I've never intentionally gone in and like brought that little piece of paper or whatever. And I got to pre-order this book. It's usually like, it's usually creator based, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Or we'll put up a review. Like, I think it was Ian that reviewed, they're Not Like Us, and he fucking just raved about it. So I went and bought the issue, and now it's one of my pulls, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'll affect, but I don't, and I mean, maybe it's the age old saying, like, you know, what can one person do? You know, what does one vote change? What does one pre-order change?
Yeah.
But when you think of, what, 400 million people in North America, give or take, you know, and you assume 10 million are comic readers or whatever, you know, if half of them don't pre-order a book, or majority of them even don't pre-order a book, it's not going to survive.
No.
So there is parts I can see where, you know, where you could understand it, but I still don't get how some people seem to think it's like their job to save a book. You know,
it's kind of, yeah, the whole like pre-ordering system is just so archaic, and actually the video game industry runs very, very similarly, and I don't know what they can do to change it, but I think, you know, both fields need to change that quickly.
You know what? I've if you want to bring up the video games for a minute, I've pre-ordered a lot of video games, especially in the last couple of years. Not so much for like their little bullshit, oh, you get this with it, you get special fucking, you got a pink gun instead of a black gun, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I typically don't give a shit about that stuff.
No, more for it's not going to be there if I want it.
Yeah.
You know, it's more that. And I mean, obviously, like, video game campaigns are bigger and more in your face, generally speaking. Like, look at the campaign that Destiny had before it launched.
Yeah.
Like, that was Halo-esque. So, I mean, that got me amped. I mean, maybe if comics were more on TV, maybe more people would pre-order. I don't know. I mean, I don't think a lot of people even know about the previews book. But I also know a lot of people that are going to look at that, and they're going to go, oh, you know, in 3 months, these creators are going to have this book, and there's this little one-sentence blurb and a cover. Oh, yeah, that might be cool. And then that's the last they think of it until issue 3 comes out, and they're like, oh, shit, that book came out.
Well, comics in general just don't do – they don't do a good enough job of kind of like whoring themselves out, so to speak. There's just countless people that have come up to me or, you know, tried to talk to me through Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and they're like, how do you comic, essentially? Like, what do you do? What, like, how do you read this stuff? Where do I start? What, like, and – I think, you know, especially with Marvel and DC, I think they do a terrible job of bringing people in to the fold.
Absolutely. I don't believe for a minute that these movies are bringing in. I mean, we've talked about it before.
No. We've touched on that numerous times, but no, they are not.
You know, and no matter how much they try to change, oh, Nick Fury's the black Nick Fury now, and the white one's kind of gone away, and because that's, I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's character is badass and it works, but.
And let's kill off the Fantastic Four because we're big babies and we don't own the movie rights.
Well, hey, you know what? If I was them and I saw that piece of shit trailer, I'd probably do that too.
Well, yeah, all right, you got me there.
I would try to distance myself the fuck away from that crap.
Yeah, you got me. Yeah, that's true. You got me there. That looked fucking horrendous.
Oh, man, I can't even. No. You know, but, I mean, the pre-order system, as flawed or archaic, I mean, it's never made me want to order a book through that system. I mean, closer to release, I'll probably be like, you know, throw this on my pull list or whatever, or if it pops up a couple of days before on Comixology, I'll probably pre-order it that way. But I don't think that the previews is really helping too much. And I also think that if a book, you know, I don't know how to word this. It's almost like Image should give every series enough to fill a trade. Every series gets a 5-issue minimum.
Yeah.
And then a trade. And then you watch how the trade sells, and if that doesn't work, then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because there is a lot of people that prefer it in a chunk, and there's a lot of people that want it month to month and are okay with that. I mean, there is a lot of books that, I mean, even we review, and it's like, this was a good book, but it would probably be better if you read it all at once.
Yeah.
You know, some of the weird shit, like a Grant Morrison, like The Nameless, the first book I don't think was reviewed very well, but I bet you when the first arc comes out in a trade, you read it all together, you're probably going to be like,
totally get it, yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of how I read East of West. Like, I actually will get an issue and just toss it aside. And then once I get like 5-6 issues of that, I'll just tear through it. And it reads a lot better in trade form.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the first big hardcover of that, and then I'll do that again.
Yeah.
I might have bought the first trade, or maybe I missed, maybe I skipped it. But anyway, I mean, to almost solve the issue of sales, you know, the first 5 should, or 4 even. I mean, a 4-issue trade is just as good. Valiant does that, and it works out just fine. And the trade's cheaper and whatever, right? But
yeah,
it almost shouldn't matter. If you pulled away from that archaic system of the pre-ordering, and Image just said, okay, we're going to give you 4 issues. I mean, if the first 2 issues sell like 100 copies, you know, maybe, yeah, okay, cancel it. and blame lack of pre-orders. But A, comic creators that are creator owned aren't going to let that happen. They're still going to pimp it and let you know what's going on. You know, and B, it's an Image comic book. I don't think there's any Image comic book that's ever number one that ever sells like less than 10 grand. I have no numbers to back that up. It's complete, you know, pulling that number out of my ass, but it's an Image comics number one. I bet you they don't sell, you know, even less than 5,000 as an example, at least the number one. Yeah. So if, and maybe again, it falls back to, if your number one isn't good enough to hook those people and more, maybe it wasn't destined to work out in the first place, but they should still be able to get a trade amount of issues in, get a trade published and see how it goes. And that, and that might alleviate some of this, like, you know, you have to save these books, we have to do this, or it'll get canceled again, we won't be able to see it again, and you know, maybe that will help it. I honestly, again, I don't think that anything we do or don't do really and truly affects the way Marvel and DC pick their books.
No, not really.
Particularly DC. I mean, if sales are bad, yeah, financially Marvel is going to cancel the book because it doesn't make sense to keep it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, a lot of people are mad about She-Hulk, you know, and you and I just talked about it before the show. Charles Soule is a great writer, and I love everything I've read of his. I thought the art was garbage, but a lot of people are mad that it's canceled. They're like, "Oh, we should have done this. We should have bought more of this. We should have done this." It's like, well,
yeah,
no. If people don't want to read it, they're not going to read it. If they want to read it in trade, that's it. Mm-hmm. And maybe in that sense, kind of going along with, you know, like Image or creator old books, you know, everybody gets at least 4 in a trade. Maybe Marvel should base their series more on trade sales as well. And I mean, there's a comment I think I saw Alex put that digital sales aren't really taken into account yet in those numbers from Diamond. That's all just physical books.
Mm-hmm.
So even with Valiant, you know, the Valiant number one could have sold 25,000 physical. Again, I'm pulling numbers out of my ass here. But digitally, maybe it sold another 10,000, but you don't get to see those numbers.
No, you don't.
Right? So there's so many factors they got to take into account, I think, before. And I honestly don't think that one person, 10 person, 10 people, 50 people, they're not going to affect whether a book lives or dies. If the book is good, it'll stick around. If it doesn't hit its audience, it's not going to stick around. It gets its one trade and it goes away.
Yeah, yeah. I think like Hawkeye. Like, well, early on, Fractions Hawkeye was like a good example of that. Whereas, like, nobody gave a shit,
yeah,
and it really get pre-ordered, And then next thing you know, like, it's like the hottest book in town.
And until they decided to give up on it or do whatever and maybe stop there. And that's, you know, that's a good example too, is of books that slide under the radar and then people blow up. But I mean, that's, I think that started selling like crazy numbers by like issue 3 or 4.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little bit different.
I guess so.
I just want to touch, I mean, we've got about 5 minutes left here. I just want to touch on, I believe in the article, and I mean, it's been said before, people going digital harms brick and mortar shops. And Alex says it, I think, beautifully. He says, if digital means harming brick and mortar shops, and maybe those shops weren't very good to begin with. And I think that kind of sums everything up as far as, you know, as far as the pre-orders go and this and that. And I mean, I switched to digital, but I still buy some print and I still buy lots of trades and this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? What kind of impact do you see? I mean, you don't read any digital, right?
Not really. No. You're a big omnibus guy.
I love hardcovers and I like the collections that are good. Like trades, I can probably take or leave. I've actually learned to stop just buying trades from Image and wait for the hardcover, even if that means another 6 months, 8 months. I just wait for the hardcover now.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, get what you enjoy, you know, certainly. I used to talk shit on digital, but I have since changed my position on it.
Much like Mark Waid changed too.
Yeah. I saw the error of my ways, and I actually wish that I could do that. I actually wish that I could go digital because I am running out of room. Like right now, I am surrounded by comic books and video games and Ninja Turtle action figures and Batman action figures and just every like and Nintendo merchandise, and I'm just like it's just. The walls are caving in, man.
it's really easy, Derek. You just stop.
and you just pick up an iPad
or whatever and start going.
I'll put it this way. I was actually it took me years to go all digital with music. Like I was still like buying CDs like for the longest time.
Within the last 6 months is when I started doing that, Derek. So I hear you.
Okay, all right, you know, okay, you feel my pain, because I just, well, I guess it's been a little while, it's been like 4 years now since I went, like, all digital with music, and now, like, I have a few CDs, like, basically, I have the Beatles complete catalog, and those are the only CDs that I give a shit about. Other than that, fuck them, I don't care, I'll do the digital route.
Yeah, I got 3 shelves worth, and I want to get rid of most of them. And just call it digital and just, I'm tired of lugging them around, I think.
But that's the thing. Like I just have, I have like a little case, you know, with all my Beatles CDs and that's fine. But like everything else just needs to go. It's just clutter.
Yeah, exactly. I want to close this out here. Cause we're getting close to the end.
Oh yeah.
I just, you said a little point in passing as you're going into your little tirade there.
Yeah.
You essentially said, you know, to each their own.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, at the end of the day, that's really what matters. As long as people are reading comics, you know what, and they're enjoying them, I 100% agree with Alex that it is not our jobs to personally try to win the battle against canceled books and try to make brick and mortar shops stick around, you know, especially if they're not good. I mean, I know a lot of people that fucking hate their shops because they're assholes or they're, you know, whatever. It's just a crappy shop. I hear it all the time. And then they end up switching digital. Like, man, I fucking love this. There's no asshole at Comixology, you know, telling me I suck for reading Gotham Academy or whatever. I had to use that. Yeah. I had to use that because of Alex's article.
Yeah. And honestly, if comics went all digital, like I would actually be okay with that. I'd be like, oh great, now you're forcing me to do it. That's cool.
Well, and I figured CDs would be doing that for me. I figured 5 years ago, in five years, we would be there'd be no CDs left, and we're close, but we'll see. I mean, records are coming back, so who knows?
Yeah, we're close, but now records are coming back, and that's just something that I'm just like, nope. I already told myself I'm not doing it. Not
the one thing you can say no to.
There's only like two or three things.
I think that's it, though. I just wanted to wrap up by saying check out Alex's article. It does make some really, really good points. It really made me think afterwards, you know, that, you know, it's really not our jobs to save comics. You read what you enjoy. You tell people what you enjoy. If they read it and they love it, awesome. If they don't read it, you know, whatever. It's not your job. You're not trying to make money off this stuff.
No, that's not on you.
100%. So if books are canceled, that sucks, but enjoy the trades or issues that you have and go to the next one. There's always one around the corner, especially with the big two. So any one last word, Derek? You got like 60 seconds here.
No, just, physical or digital, however you want to do it. Just, you know, read comics and don't listen to anybody. Buy what you like. And, you know, it's comics are great and there's so many good comics out there. But at the same time, you know, don't feel like you're obligated to buy stuff.
Excellently said. I will leave with one little final note, stealing from Alex once again. I love when he does all the hard work for me.
Yeah, really.
You are 100% responsibility free when it comes to how you choose to consume your hobby. So remember that. Until next time, I'm Tyler. That's Derek.
Bye.
Worship comics.